The following podcast of The Blitz is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine, and if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, and you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Hey guys, I am very happy to tell you about Big City Wings, Houston's wings joint. And I'm telling you what, man, this has become my favorite wing place by far. Great TVs. If you want to go watch the games back to back tomorrow, you know where you can go? Big City Wings. They've got TVs everywhere. I go to the one over in the Marquee, and I'm telling you, there's not a bad place to sit because you can see the TVs everywhere. And oh, by the way, the food's fantastic. Wings, they've got specials every day, and they're big on sports. Family-friendly restaurant with something on the menu for everyone. Delicious, fresh, made-to-order menu items like the USDA-certified Angus beef burgers, loaded baked potatoes, chicken tenders, bone-in and boneless wings, and more. And they're the only wing joint to offer specials every day on food and drink. So, you know what? If you haven't tried it out yet, you need to go by, because my man Sam, they are about quality, and the food is so good. I have yet to have a disher that I just didn't go, wow. And they've even got specials on the weekend. And so you got lots of opportunities today, half price appetizers and margarita madness. So if you're driving around, stop by, get you some margaritas, get those half price appetizers. You will enjoy it. Find a location nearest you at bigcitywings.com. You can follow them on social media. They're on Facebook and Instagram, and it's Big City Wings for both. And then on Twitter, it's big_city_wings. And check them out, bigcitywings.com. You will love them.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And that music means RJ Bell, but he's not quite here yet, which that's okay because he has a show that goes right up until 6. So he'll join us any minute here, and we'll talk NFL. But we'll just tell you that you can follow us on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at my name Jong, at Degenerates975. You can, of course, text the show at 713-780-3776. If you missed the first 2 hours, hour number one, not sportsy, which made someone very angry. Hour number two, all sportsy and spider and texter. Hour number three will be sportsy with RJ when we get him on. So we'll talk talk a little more gambling.
I'm curious how RJ's leaning in these games. Yeah. And I think he'll be a little more open about things now that the contest is over, the super contest thing they were doing.
Yeah, yeah. That.
So now he can actually give his take, maybe.
Yeah, and we can let him put a bow on how that turned out because,
I don't think they finished well, but if I understood, and this is just from Twitter, what I understood when he tweeted was that they were basically looking for plays that they thought the teams in front of them wouldn't or would be opposite on them on.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily that they thought they were winners, but they were saying, okay, if it's a 45% chance, we'll take that if the other person's playing the 55 because we've got to gain that ground.
Yeah, and it's interesting.
Which makes sense in a winner-takes-all thing.
Oh, absolutely, and especially in a winner-takes-all. And there's a lot of times in some horse tournaments, which I've done in the past, same thing. If you get to the end and you know the kind of horse that the leaders are taking, you take another horse, even if you don't think it's as good. But if you know you have to catch him and you have to get certain odds, like sometimes you're just looking for the best long shot just for that reason. And if you're ahead sometimes, you know, and you think they're going to play those long shots to catch you, and you got a good enough lead, you play them too. So it's a really, there's a lot to it at the end there. I think they went about it the right way. It just didn't work out. You know, and especially when you're down going to that last week, you've got to get lucky a little bit. And going oppo, even if that's not the play you'd make, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if it goes your way, then you rally and you look like a genius. But that's what I love about any kind of gambling tournament is there's so much strategy at the end, especially if you're in it and have an opportunity to win. And you just have to be smart and a little bit lucky. As, you know, luck always plays into it a little bit, especially if you're doing that. If you're just going to have to say, okay, I'm going to take the teams that the other guy isn't taking, then you got to get lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. So you should be joining us any minute now. Hey, is our live stream not working again?
I don't know. It's working in here. I'll ask Brandon.
Yeah, because I'm looking at it, and it says test BRB.
Uh-oh.
I was just curious.
Uh-oh.
Probably something I did. But there are people watching it. I don't know if they're watching the test or they're just watching the commercials or what. But
so during that last break, I read for the Rockets about all-star voting.
Yeah.
And I think you should get out and vote for James Harden because I think he's deserving. But if I said I'm going to name the five starters from the Western Conference, you give me the percent. What are the odds that they're these exact five? Curry, Harden, Davis, LeBron, Durant. Is it like 90% that that's the exact five?
Yeah, except Harden's third.
Well, I just mean in any order. I'm just saying those five guys are going to be the starters.
Yeah, but isn't Harden third among guards right now?
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, he'll catch up. There's too much going on.
All right.
He's balling out too hard.
Let's go to RJ Bell, the gambling guru of the universe, founder of pregame.com, and a guy who was right there at the end for that winner-take-all contest. And RJ, recap for the people how it went down there at the end for you.
Boy, you're just trying to – it's like, tell us how the D-Day invasion went.
Oh, stop, so, stop. You know, I spent 2 minutes praising your strategy.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. So we were in the, as listeners know, $640,000 winner take all. It was a $5,000 contest. We were one game out with 2 weeks to go, went 2-3 on that penultimate week 16, and now we fell two games back. Steve Fezzik, who – is the senior NFL guy at pregame.com, but also the two-time Super Contest champion. He's actually in studio walking out right now. He says that. We actually over-undered it once. 29 times a week he explains about him being a two-time Super Contest. He just said over. No, but he is the only guy to ever do that. And he won it 1 year when he was behind entering the last week. And his rationale is, you've got to be contrary. Even if there was a 45, let's say that I knew for sure, let's say Fred's two games ahead of me. I mean, doesn't make sense, but let's say he was two games ahead of me. And if I knew Fred had the five best picks of the week, all five of them I thought were 55%, I would automatically bet all five, or not bet, but pick all five 45%ers because the opponents of his teams. Because if I win, he loses, right? So I'd rather pick up a game 45% of the time than, let's say, I've got my pick and he's got his pick, and they're different. Even if I'm going to win 60% of the time, only half of the time is he going to lose. So I'm only picking up a game 30% in that case, right? Whereas if I'm on the 45% side but I'm opposite him, I pick up a game 45% of the time. So we went totally contrary. We tried to make the five least likely picks, and we actually did a great job. We matched up two against the leader, and we matched up multiple ones against others that were right around where we were. But lo and behold, those games didn't do so well. So we didn't win the contest. But, you know, I was pretty proud. I was talking about in the podcast is – it's easy to talk theory. You know, it's the old Mike Tyson line, right? Is everyone's got a plan until they get hit. Is we were going for 640,000, and we had about a 15% chance to win it the last week. We kind of projected out, and we were had the guts to take the Dolphins plus 3.5, even though the market was 5.5, and we loved the Bills, but the way to win it was to do the process, not so, the results.
Week 17
and
wasn't
so we were
really
kind of proud.
Week 17 wasn't really about handicapping. It was more about deciding what your opponents were going to play.
Except we spent, this sounds crazy, is I had an admin spend about 20 hours logging every pick from anyone that was in shouting distance of us. And we spent about an hour after per opponent profiling his picks. One of the things we found out was the guy who was ahead of us, the first 14 or 15 weeks of the year, he would have a normal number of line value games, meaning the lines came out on Wednesday for the Super Contest. We didn't have to pick till Saturday morning. Sometimes a line would go from -5 to -6.5. A lot of people would just play every line value game, figuring, I got to pick 5 picks anyway. I'm going to lay 5 when it should be 6.5 and not worry about it, right? That's my 5th pick. I don't have to worry about it. He had, I would say, an average number of line value picks the big chunk of the season. Then the last 2 weeks, every pick was a line value pick before week 17. So the fact that we went deep enough to see him change his MO allowed us to say, well, he's probably going to go line value for most of his picks this week. And he did. So we were handicapping the opponent, not handicapping the games.
Yeah, and I mean that's just a sound strategy. We were talking about it before you came on, is that when you get to the end of one of these things with a chance to win, sometimes the plays aren't what you would just say, okay, these are the 5 best, because I've done it in horse tournaments where it's like if you're right there near the top, you might take a 20-to-1 shot simply because that's your only way to win, even though you don't really think that thing has a chance. So,
and Fred, you play more poker tournaments than me. I'm more of a cash player. But correct me if I'm wrong, and I've read a decent amount about poker tournaments, that kind of decision of, hey, I've got 60 big blinds, but we're on the bubble, I'm going to push here. Like, optimal play in a cash game is so different than a tournament because there's so many other factors in a tournament.
Oh, absolutely, and especially you start getting down to fewer players, hand values go up, and you know, depending on your stack size and position, you might shove with a really marginal holding just because – you know, at some point you have to make a move, and you're right. If you're not on the bubble, if you're in the money, it changes again. I think you spread things out a little more and expand your hands. So,
and what I would say is just some very actionable advice for all the listeners is if you are not a professional poker player, if you're a professional, you don't need my advice. But if you're not, pick cash games or tournament games and only play one. I think it's very hard for an amateur, and when I say amateur, I mean they're not spending they're full time on it. I think it's very hard for an amateur to be good at both.
I agree. I think for me, the cash game is easier long term because you don't have to play as much. Tournaments are a little more difficult because you do have forced play at some point in it. But those are also easier for people because it's a one time buy in. It's not a cash game where
if it's not a deep stack tournament. I mean, listen, almost every serious poker player likes cash games better, right? There are some specialists in sit and goes and all that, but they like it because it's more profitable. But if it's a question of skill, you know, in one of the great lines in the history of gambling, there was a guy, a famous player, Johnny Moss. He actually won the first World Series of Poker, I think it was 71, by vote. They actually had 9 guys playing. And after every, 6 hours, they would vote who's the best. And literally, for the first, couple days, everyone voted for themselves. So it was and then finally, one person voted for Johnny Moss, so he won. And that was the only time it was ever on a vote. He won 2 more. Great player. He was old come the 70s. But I think it was in the late 40s, him and Nick the Greek played a heads-up match outside of Binion's. This was the first showdown. They would play heads up 5-card stud for 8 hours a day behind a velvet rope. Think about it. In 1948 or 52, imagine going to Vegas and it's like a cow town and these two guys are playing heads up. But at the time, it was like in today's dollars, they were playing for like $10,000, $20,000 a hand. It was gigantic hands back in old time money. And then finally, after like 4 months, Nick the Greek stood up and it's the famous line. He said, "Mr. Moss, I've got to let you go. It's like, I can't beat you and I'm leaving. I'm letting you go. The game's over." And that's a famous line, but he lost like hundreds of thousands of dollars in that heads up. So that is so fascinating. Just the idea of poker, you know, as a game with nine players or whatever. That's awesome. And all, but the idea of two guys playing every day for 8 hours a day for months to figure out who's better. That's actually the only way you can be sure who's better in something like that.
Well, let's get into this week's games, RJ. I'm curious if you're on the same side as me, and Fred and I are actually, well, the game we'll get to first, Fred and I are opposite on. I was heavy on the Colts at open at +2.5. I liked them money line then. I like them money line now. I think the Colts win the game. Fred likes the Texans. I feel like they're going in, well, I don't want to say they're going in different directions because it's not like the Texans are totally sputtering in here, but I think the Colts are one of, with the Bears, the hottest teams in the NFL right now. What's Vegas think about this game? Obviously, the line moving towards the middle, which makes me think there's a lot coming in on the Colts.
You know, I can imagine like an assistant coach on the Texans just hating on AJ like the whole season. Like that mother effer AJ Hoofman or whatever the F his name is. It's like, what do we have to do? It's like, correct me if I'm wrong, Houston is 11-2 their last 13?
Yeah, maybe something like that.
Yeah, well, they're 11-2. It's exactly 11-2.
Okay.
So when you say 11-2 is they're not exactly sputtering. They're 11-2.
Yeah, and both those losses were by 3 points to the Colts and then on a last second field goal to the Eagles. So it's not like they were blown out.
But what were those wins? Mostly coin flip games.
No, I agree with you. But what I'm saying is at some point, you know, the old saying is in the long term, we're all going to be dead. I get the whole long term thing, but at a certain point, you got to give a team credit, right? They finished 11-2 to finish the season. So, and that's why I personally really like Houston here. But let me restate that. I like Houston, but I really like a parlay in this game, a two-teamer. And I just gave it on our national show. We have a feature called The Best Time to Be Bad. And we play George Thorogood. You know, we got the radio voice. The best time to be bad. All right, here's the theory. You, the listeners out there, they want to be bad. They want to bet TV games. They want to bet overs. They want to bet parlays, teasers. And usually the advice is, oh, don't bet parlays. Don't bet teasers. Don't blah, blah, blah. But usually in any given spot, there's exceptions, right? And the time you can bet parlays, two teamers, is if there's a correlation. If one event happens, the other event is more likely to happen. I think Houston's probably a 53.5% pick. I wouldn't even bet it by itself, right? Bet them by themselves. But I think if Houston covers, the odds are 60% or better the game goes over, because over the total. Because I don't believe that Houston can stop the Colts, because Houston, and correct me if I'm wrong, play a lot of zone defense. So that does a good job against wide receivers typically, but running backs and tight ends seem to perform well against those types of teams, especially against Houston. So I think the Colts get their points. And you guys weak defensively in the backfield, but a good D-line. Colts have a great O-line. That might be a wash. And I think the Colts get their points. But I think Houston gets their points too. And here's a macro big picture tip. Put it in your pocket. It will always be the case. Running quarterbacks are more effective in the playoffs because they're willing to run more often. Running is super effective if you have a mobile quarterback. It's just not sustainable. Well, come playoff time, quarterbacks don't worry as much about sustainability. Think about Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson over the years. When they start playing the whole game like they play the last 2 minutes of halves, that's when you see so much more scoring, because it's hard to stop a quarterback that's willing to run. If you look at Watson, the last two games, he's run so much more. Just number of carries, he's run a lot. His you know, those injuries, sternum, his knee, all feeling better. I think Deshaun Watson has a big rushing day, a big passing day. I think Houston maybe wins by three, but I think there's a ton of points. And if Houston does cover, I think the game goes over. So to me, best time to be bad, two-teamer, Houston in the over. What do you guys think?
I would agree with that. They can't stop. There's no way they're going to stop the Colts. I mean, Andrew Luck's thrown for over 800 yards against them in two games. You know, and they can't guard T.Y. Hilton. They've never been able to stop him. And they can't guard tight end. So there's
and the Colts have a good one.
Yeah. So I'm with you on that. I actually like the over.
I think that the most fascinating number and the number that makes a difference to me is those sacks and sacks allowed. And you mentioned the Colts offensive line being so great. They gave up 18 sacks all year. I want to say 7 or 8 of them were in the first 6 weeks when they were without a left tackle and they're breaking in a rookie guard. And I know it's easy to make excuses for how a team played early versus late because that's just natural. But I do think there are a lot of rookies on that Colts team that kind of made them not gel early on. I don't think Andrew Luck was healthy early on. But the Texans have given up more sacks than any team in the last 4 years. And to me, that's a problem. And the Colts had 12 sacks against the Texans.
Let me ask you a question, AJ. First off, you are making some really good points. But let me ask you one question. What in the heck does the O-line for the Colts and the O-line for Houston have to do with each other?
Well, when you're talking about offense, Deshaun Watson being under pressure all game, if he's the most sacked quarterback in the NFL. If I told you one quarterback's going to get sacked 6 times in the game and one's going to get sacked once, which team are you leaning towards just blindly?
But under that theory, how in the heck is Houston 11-2? So obviously with Deshaun Watson's mobility, with the scheme, they've been able to be a good offense, the Texans, with a limited O-line. What would worry me is if the Colts had a great D-line. To me, the reason I like the Eagles against you guys when the game was in Philly a couple weeks ago was because that's one of the best D-lines in the league against that bad O-line. To me, the Colts' O-line has nothing to do with it. Right. So I've heard a lot of people talking about that. So I agree with you. That's a disadvantage if you matched up the O lines, but they don't play against each other. Right. And it's not as if the Colts have some great D line.
The Texans do, though, and they've been nullified the two times that they've played the Colts.
No, I agree. I think the Colts are going to get their points. Right. See, here's the thing. If you have two games in a season like division rivals have, if all you did was say when a team's 2-0, I'm going to expect them to go 3-0. You would lose money because what happens is oftentimes games are fluky. Teams win games they shouldn't, but the public reacts to those wins. I think one thing we found for sure with the Texans and the Colts is we found for sure that the Texans can't stop the Colts. Like this year, even though it was two games, it just doesn't look like it's like Fred had the stat. It was over, like you said, over 800. I think it was like 840 yards or something he threw for. I don't think that was a fluke. Unless you think the Colts are the best bet of the year. To me, you got two bets here. If you think the Colts are going to roll, bet the Colts. There you go. Easy. But if you think Houston even has a 52% chance, I think you parlay it with the over because I think it's correlated.
Well, I bet the Colts.
and that's valid. But here's what last thing on this game. You know who you're betting with, right? Imagine, just close your eyes and think about every guy at the racetrack, the poker room, the sports bar. Imagine you're in some big room that you typically go to, maybe, you know, like we said, track bar, and say, all right, everyone to bet the Colts on one side of the room and everyone to bet the Texans on the other. Right, and I'm not talking about in Houston, let's say just in Chicago, in New York. What do you think the side of the room about the Colts look like versus the Houston side? The square balls are going to be over there with you, AJ.
Okay, I'll take them.
Right? I mean, yeah, okay. I'm not saying you're wrong, but you do agree. In fact, it's not a debate, right? I'll pull it up as we're talking. You know, up at pregame.com, we have if you go to the game center, you can see the live odds and everything for free. But then there's a tab that says consensus. You can actually see the percentages of bets on each team, right? So how many tickets, how many bets are on Houston, how many bets are on the Colts. And right now I'm just pulling it up, and I'm guessing it's at least 75%, but I haven't looked at the update. So here it is. Okay, as of right now, there are, well, actually it's only 65% of the bets are on the Colts. My guess is come Sunday or come Saturday when you have the public really getting involved, that number goes over 70. I'm always worried when I'm on the same side as 70%+ of people because they're making it expensive because they're with. It's almost like if you love a neighbor. Last thing. Thank you for just 1 second. Imagine you love a neighborhood because of some really advanced reason. It's like, oh, you know, the sun comes up in this way and my cells on my roof that can heat the house is going to get more sun. Like all this like high IQ stuff. But then let's also say James Harden has a house in that neighborhood. So a lot of people are going to want to be there because of James Harden. You're going to want to be there for some more sophisticated reason. But the James Harden people makes that neighborhood more expensive. You might be right, the Colts are the right side, but everyone else being there is making the Colts expensive.
All right, I'm curious your take on the next game, the Seattle-Dallas game, because I see so many similarities between Seattle and Houston, it's not even funny, because Seattle has won a lot of coin flip games. They could just as easily be 6-10 as 10-6, just like the Texans. They don't have a lot of impressive wins on their resume. What are your thoughts on Seattle going into Dallas?
I would say my second best pick of the week is Dallas. Now, remember, guys, typical week in the NFL, there's 16 games, right, if there's no buys. So 16 games, how many games do you bet? The average series bettor, AJ, Fred, I'm guessing on your sides you have an average of 3 or so a week. Does that sound right?
I'm usually closer to 3 than Fred. Fred doesn't play a lot of volume. I play probably
so three
more
or,
than three.
Three or less?
Less than three for me, yeah.
All right, so 3/16 or so, right? So less than 25%. Okay. Well, there's four games. What's less than 25%? 0 or 1, right? So if you're playing 1 out of 4 games, let's say, during the regular season, why would you play more than 1 out of 4 during the postseason? Now, if you're playing for fun, do whatever you want, right? But if you're trying to make money, you got to worry about your volume. If you find one side pick that you like this weekend, congratulations, right? So this would be my second pick. I'm probably not going to bet it, and here's why. I think Seattle had some deceivingly good wins at home. You look at that Minnesota game, they did not dominate that game the way the scoreboard said. If you look at the Green Bay game, it was a road game on Thursday night for Green Bay, and they had just come off the Patriots game, and I think the Vikings game, it was a tough stretch for them on a short week. And Seattle won by 3, and that was the only time they led hardly in the whole game was the last score. So I think Seattle is even worse, though, on the road. They've had 3 road wins this year. Don't count the London game. That's not a road game. That's a neutral. And that was against the Raiders, so whatever. They beat the worst team in the NFL, Arizona. They beat Detroit, bottom 10 team. And they beat Carolina when they were in Carolina in the middle of a 7-game losing streak. If that's your best win on the road, you're not that good on the road. Dallas has been very good at home this year, and the line's less than 3. I think this line, you could say it should be 3.5. You can say it should be 3. I've yet to hear someone make the case that Seattle is clearly the better team. I like Dallas.
I'm curious, then, do you give Texans full credit for beating the Colts when the Colts were getting that win at the Colts when the Colts were in the midst of their 1-5 start?
That's an interesting question. No, right? Because, I mean, and that really is a deep question we could spend hours on is, do you look at the Colts as the team that's 9-1? Because you brought up some savvy points. Andrew Luck wasn't fully healthy. They had a new defensive coordinator. They made some schematic changes. And they had a young team that was trending upwards faster than a typical team. There's a lot of reasons to demarcate the Colts' 10-game 9-1 run versus the early part of the year. But obviously, if you're playing at a certain level during a period, the wins and losses against that team is more about the level during that period, right? So if we agree that there was legitimately a difference in the Colts team early, then beating the Colts team early couldn't give you as much credit.
And that goes back to my point of if you take away that Colts win, what's the best win that the Texans had? And I mean, you talk about deceiving wins. I guess maybe it's Dallas in overtime when Jason Garrett basically handed them a game. But
I mean, how many? Think about it like this: Bill Belichick's a genius. Do we agree?
Yes.
Okay. You could make the case that Belichick should have won, that they clearly won only the Eagles Super Bowl. Right? What other Super Bowl
did they really dominate? No, they didn't dominate.
Not even dominate. Ones. More that if you watch the game, you would say, man, maybe it's 55-45. Right. Maybe. You know, any other one?
No.
So, but somehow Belichick has his five Super Bowls.
Well, and he keeps getting there. The volume of getting there eventually is going to factor into that.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, well, Marv Levy didn't, right, in the post.
Don't get me started.
So I guess what I would say is this. At some point, if you're going to excuse away, oh, well, the Dallas win was because of this one decision the Clapper made, whatever. And it's like, come on. If they beat Dallas, let's give them credit. This team, I think not having a second receiver, I'm not saying Houston's some great team, but listen, here's the thing. A lot of people, you guys have, and I say this sincerely, you guys have a high IQ show, meaning the people that like to listen to this show, I think, are smarter than the average sports talk show listener. Don't use your IQ to fool yourself. AJ, you're a borderline, in my opinion, brilliant person. You're a smart, smart person. You use your mind, I think, to get to your, it's almost like you figure out the answer first, and then you use your mind to get there. Like you are, I get being contrarian against the fanboys, you know, the hometowners. But boy, it seems like, how often, let me ask you this. How often would you say you feel better about a local team than the average consensus?
It's pretty rare. No, the Astros I usually do feel better about than the local consensus. But with the Texans, I typically do not.
Yeah, I don't think we've been doing this spot like 5 years. I don't think I've heard you one time be higher on the Texans than average. So you got that buy. I get it because it comes from a good place. You're rebelling against the homers, right?
Well, I'm also watching all these games, and I'm watching how they win instead of just looking through the box scores and saying, oh, well, they won again. It's nine in a row. I mean, I'm seeing how they win, and I'm seeing the things that are happening that's letting them win these games. And I do think Seattle, like I said, a lot of the same way. Seattle probably shouldn't be 10-6. If you replayed this season, Seattle wouldn't be 10-6. If you replayed this season, I don't think the Texans have the same record they did either.
I agree. So, but it doesn't change the fact that maybe they're I would say you could even make the case that they're a game and a half too high. But if they win 9.5 games, that's still a way above average season.
Agreed.
I mean, this is a – like, where do you – 1 to 32, where do you got the Texans?
Probably maybe 12, 13.
Holy cow. So who would be 14?
I don't have my power rankings up in front of me, but I mean,
so you think Houston is like an 8-18? Like, so 16 would be 8-8.
16 would be 8-8.
You think that? So you think Houston's an 8-18?
No, I said they're 12 or 13. I think they're probably a 9-7 team.
Wow. So you're saying they're two full wins better, even though they could have easily won the Philadelphia game.
And they could have easily lost the Denver game, could have easily lost the Dallas game, could have easily lost the Colts game. I mean, there's plenty of games you can point at and say they were lucky to have won those games.
But you're the one
games.
Saying they're going to be minus two full games from where they ended
if
up.
If you replay the season, I agree, yeah.
What do you think, Fred?
I think you're discounting that they easily could have won the Eagles game. They could have won the first Titans game. There's games that didn't they didn't lose a game by more than one score all year. Now the Patriots game they had no chance. But I mean I think that's just the NFL. You play a lot of close games, and some teams pull it off, and some teams don't. This year they did.
You know what's funny is if they had lost all those close games, it'd be why that the coach should be fired would be the discussion.
Yeah, and that's why when they started 0-3, that was the discussion. So,
oh, AJ's tough, I tell you.
Can we?
Yeah, real quick because we're way over here.
Yeah, the Ravens Chargers game, which I think Fred and I both think is
my
most...
favorite pick of the week. I'll keep it simple. Chargers here +3. Here's why. Sorry to interrupt. Is I believe playing against a quirky offense, and Baltimore certainly has a quirky offense at this point with Lamar Jackson. a second time in a month is a humongous advantage. First team to get a second crack at it. Think about baseball. Rookie pitcher goes around once, he's fine. Second time around, if he's limited, they figure him out. I think the Chargers, best road team in the NFL, getting three is the pick of the week.
See, my worry, and I don't think I'm going to play the, I'm going to play the under in this game because the Ravens run 60% of the time. The Chargers are the slowest paced team in the world. But the when you talk about the Chargers, I worry their defense is built to stop 2018 offenses. Great edge rushers, two of them. Great secondary. The Ravens are they're a throwback offense. They are not your typical 2018 offense. I think the Chargers just drew the worst possible team they could have drawn, and I think there's a lot of serious matchup problems. And the one thing I will say, I think the Chargers have a better chance of winning this game if they commit to the run, because throwing the ball against the Ravens isn't going to get it done. And they decided not to run in that first game against the Ravens for whatever reason, and if they do that again, I think they're in trouble.
You're making a super savvy point. In fact, one of the Ringer podcasts was talking about this point, is that the Chargers are built to stop modern offenses, but they actually, that same kind of speed on the edges and all that really is good against the read option. If you actually look at it, Lamar Jackson had his worst game running by far against the Chargers. It's just Baltimore was able to run otherwise. But if you're able to stop Lamar, if I tell you that they're going to hold Lamar Jackson in like 37 yards like he had last game, I think you'd love to bet the Chargers, right? So I'm willing to bet they can't just run, not Lamar Jackson, but the running backs run all over the Chargers again. So
would you agree you'd like the Chargers more if Joe Flacco was quarterbacking the Ravens, just because he's more of a traditional passer?
If they were playing for the first time, yes. But if they were playing for the second time, no. I really believe, and the option is the analogy in college football. Oklahoma went to overtime with Army because they weren't familiar with the option. Think about that. And to me, all these teams are seeing this is like the Wildcat. You're seeing it for the first time. The first team seeing it for a second time. I again, it's my biggest bet of the week.
Quick thoughts on the Bears-Eagles. I'm worried that Nick Foles isn't totally healthy.
Yeah, that's what Fezzik thinks too. I don't like the fact that when a line moves in a way that doesn't make sense to me, it freezes me. You might think, wait a minute, RJ, at six I like the Eagles. Well, you would think at 6.5 I would love the Eagles, right? But I don't, because I don't understand why it went to 6.5. It just doesn't make sense. That tells me there's some information about Foles' health that we don't know about. I'm not saying for sure, but boy, when a line moves in a way, I've been doing this 30 years since I was 14, but I've been in Vegas 21 years now. When a line moves in a way in the NFL that shocks me, there's usually something that we don't know.
All right, that's RJ Bell. RJ, great stuff, and I think we set a record for how long we went today, so sorry to keep you so long.
Well, I try to go like 6 or 7 after so I don't have to do the whole half hour. You guys are just blowing through hard breaks. Hey, I take it as a compliment.
Yeah, well, great stuff as always, my friend. We will talk to you again next week.
Thank you, guys.
All right, I have to tell you about Go Car Insurance, and if you have an iPhone like I do, your face is probably in it 24/7. And it's amazing how often that little screen time thing pops up and tells me how much I'm on my phone. So if you're like me, why not car insurance on there as well? Go has those crazy cat billboards, the elephant being shot out of the canyon. You've seen those around town. Well, just jump on that app, and you'll see what they're really about. The first on-demand car insurance app exclusively on the iPhone. Incredibly fast. Everything's managed through the app. You're totally in control. Go cuts out a lot of fees. And they speak your language, man. There's none of that insurance jargon that nobody gets. Go makes your insurance faster, easier, and possibly even cheaper than what you pay now. They've been the number one auto insurance app in the App Store for over 1,500 days. Check it out and see what we're talking about. Go to the App Store now and download Go Car Insurance. That's Geo. Open the app, get a quote, and see if you can start saving today.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
X gon' give it to you. Wait for you to get it on your own. X gon'
will deliver to you. I'm Glenn Davis. Join me tonight for all things soccer, the world's game. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, 7 to 9 p.m.
All right, we're back on the Blitz. Yeah, make sure you check out Soccer Matters. Glenn does a great job with that show. It's that's where I learn all my soccer, is from listening to Glenn. Also, Monday, we're going to be at Twin Peaks on Kirby
for
championship. And very happy to be going back to Twin Peaks. It's been a while. And so, you know, let's give them a good Blitzer turnout and have some fun and, you know, look at some scenery, drink some beer, get ready for the football game.
Sounds awesome, Fred.
Is there anything better than
it's hard to beat that
beer and boobs?
It's hard to beat it.
Okay, let's squeeze in stupid stuff.
Cause stupid stuff we've said this week.
And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
Oops.
Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
I don't want to say anything, but I jumped about 3 feet when you did that. What's up, Greg?
I eat peanuts and even sunflower seeds with the shell on. It just kind of...
Oh, you're a twisted human being, sir.
A lot of times I'll just pop about every second or third one in and eat the whole shell and everything. And they say that's where the nutrients are anyways.
To each their own, although shells on peanuts?
What are we, savages?
I mean, if you're worried about making a mess, won't you just like put the shells in like a cup or something? Because you're not popping them in your mouth and then peeling them that way, right? You're just peeling with your hands and you're sticking the nuts in your mouth.
I don't really want those nuts in my mouth, to be honest with you. Wow.
So, yeah, not good for rock and roll. Not a good look.
Yeah, you really have to do this, John.
John loves.
Oh, this song this. In the Aquaman movie will ruin it for you.
All right. Thankfully, this is going to wrap it up. Great job, John. Great job, AJ. Wasn't too bad today. We'll do it again tomorrow. Till then. Stay sports, you bitches. 2007, Momo something that I'm not going to say, Ando.
Momofuku.
No.
Momofuku.
No. Stop. Stop.
Fuquo?
There's no reason to do this. Try Boosh.
I'll tell you the one thing I'm looking forward to the most in 2019, and that is the return of Oktoberfest. What's got two thumbs to love Oktoberfest? This guy.
Well, good. We all love it here. Fred loves it.
Hope we make it to
Oktober.
Yeah, that's a long way off. I like that he ripped on Darren Revelle.
You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess saying stupid things sometimes makes you stand out. What's his name tonight? That idiot's name that I can't stand. Darren Revelle. Tweets out, the f*** is...
Whoop!
Oh!
Chung!
Oh!
Whoopsies. Dana White's done a bad job censoring himself lately, I can tell you that.
We did a bad job censoring him. That got out on 94.1, didn't it?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Stupid stuff we've said this week.
Yeah, Chung, that was a mistake on your part.
A little bit.
I still take blame for that because I knew that he said the F word and I should have double checked and make sure Jong knew that before we played the clip.
That's my fault.
Jong not listening to audio that he's just like, hey, I've got this audio to play.
Usually I do. And this time I didn't.
Yeah, that was a mistake. I'm going to blame you, not Fred.
No, it was my fault.
I mean, I usually like to blame Fred for things, even when they're not his fault. But in this case, I'm going to go, that's on you.
I'll take the hit. You know, but and we never actually got to talk about what happened there after that. because it threw us off.
Yeah, threw off the whole deal.
Yeah. So looking forward to getting back to a regular schedule next week. And again, probably the only people that bitch about not working enough. But yeah. The reality is that Tuesday being off was no fun. But we'll be at Twin Peaks on Monday. So come on out. That is going to be a blast. Twin Peaks on Kirby. You guys know where it is, over there by the Academy on 59, just right off 59. It's not on Kirby, technically. It's like the street before Kirby. Actually, it's like the
general area, though.
It's right there off 59.
You know where it is.
Yeah. And it's a cool place. So we'll be there doing the show. Can't wait for that. And then I guess we have a short show Tuesday because of Aggie basketball again.
Yes.
So 5:30?
Yes, 5:30 out.
So we'll have an hour and a half to talk about the championship game.
That's it.
On Tuesday.
But then we'll be able to listen to some Aggie hoops.
And before you do that, just want to say hope everybody has an awesome weekend. Great job, John. Great job, AJ. And if you're not watching Aggie hoops, you're probably playing hoops.
Yeah, guys, I got to tell you about ProDunkHoops.com. That's the website. Write it down in your notebook. Best basketball goals in the whole wide world. They're manufactured exclusively by Hoop Sporting Equipment, and they are a notch above any other goal you'll find. How, you may be asking? How about this? Thickest steel of any goal on the market, 75% thicker than the best brands in the big box stores. A tempered glass backboard so strong that Hoops guarantees that if it breaks or cracks for any reason, they'll replace it for free. You can't beat that. A rust armor finish, which means no rust, 30 years maintenance free, perfect for the weather down here. And four designs to build your to fit your home, whether you want it in your driveway, your backyard, or on your home. The Bear is fully portable, perfect if you've got a picky HOA, and they're adjustable from 10 feet to 5 feet with the turn of a handle, so any age can play. Tons of accessories, LED lighting, custom pole pad lettering. Guys, check out the website. You'll be a believer. ProDunksHoop.com. That's ProDunksHoop.com or ProDunkHoops.com, pardon me, or give them a call, 281-352-9822 for Pro Dunk Hoops.
ESPN 97.5.